I finished reading The Martian. I don't know if you guys
Was it a
start.
happy ending?
You don't mean to spoil it, do you?
Kinda. I don't know.
Do you want me to spoil it?
I guess not.
Yeah. It was a really good read.
I look good.
You guys should it reads fast, if so if you guys want to check out the copy I sent you, but
Because he dies. It's like his journal. He's telling the story, right?
yeah,
He
it's
wrote a
like
letter saying, hey, this is what happened.
yeah, he's basically by
Come
himself, so
find
like he
me.
has these like journal entries so that like something happens so the story can be told.
So, see, I could never find a pen anywhere. And I think it's interesting that he found one on another planet.
But he's more typing in his computer device.
They have electricity there?
Yeah.
I'm sure he had some sort of generator
Yeah, how long does
battery.
that last?
Oh, it's
That's
nuclear.
the whole point of the movie.
Well,
Oh, fuck.
he's got power forever. I mean, he's basically got like a mini nuclear power reactor and
So what's
solar
the
panels.
problem?
Problem is there's no food. Mars is not known for its abundance of edible food,
Did he look?
and you can't. I'm sure he did a little scouting mission.
It's got to be something.
Yeah.
That big old planet and there's nothing there to eat?
Yeah.
Why would they go?
I don't know.
And what are you
Matt Damon's.
typing that's so
It's
important?
not me.
Oh, that's me. Sorry, my microphone's right by my fucking keyboard.
You guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome back to another fun and festive episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Justin Cavender, and with me as always is Amanda, Dave, and Randy. How are you three doing tonight?
Good.
Super pumped!
I am fantastic, thank you.
I
How are
like
you,
it.
Justin?
I'm fabulous, Dave. Thanks for asking.
Hey, anytime. It's what I'm here for.
And I like how you're super pumped. You remind me of Bonesaw.
McGraw.
Is that his last name?
Yeah.
Is that his full name? It's on his birth certificate?
That is what his parents named him. They were trailer trash, you
I bet. That
It's my
sounds
little
good.
Bonesaw.
Speaking of trailer trash, have you guys seen Fear the Walking Dead, this new show, number one new hit show?
I did.
I did.
Did you
I don't
guys
like the
like it?
zombies are dumb. I don't like
They
them.
are. They're the worst. They can't drive. They don't know their left from their right. I hate zombies.
I haven't been interested in zombies in like 2 years. It's over. Nothing zombies is interesting anymore.
You don't think that this is just like a bit of a cash cow there for the Kirkman?
Well, of course it is.
Yeah, 100% cash grab. I mean, yeah, on one hand, it's kind of interesting to see how the
No.
world of The Walking Dead started, because we started in the shit in the original Walking Dead series. But the way they set up this particular series is just painfully slow. Not a hell of a lot happens. And I don't know, maybe I'm just an asshole for saying this, but it felt like they're intentionally trying to go over the top to make the show as diverse as possible in terms of their casting, which I have no problem with, but it just. Some of the casting felt off to me. I don't know, maybe you guys didn't feel that way at all, but let me know what you thought.
I thought the kid thought he was Johnny Depp. I thought that the principal was the
Totally.
most ignorant principal in the world and was totally clueless as to what was going on outside of his school and in his school. I don't understand what the mom's job was at school because she was never teaching. She just walked around all day.
She's the counselor.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what they do. They walk around.
Yeah, no wonder the kids are going to shit. Nobody's
Yeah.
counseling them.
And then, I don't like how the kids complain the entire time. These are the worst kids ever on this show, and I got so sick of them, and I
Did
wanted to
anyone
fuck them.
get creeped out when the sister sat on the brother's
Yeah,
I
hospital
thought
bed
something
and it looked
weird
like
was
they were
about
gonna
to
make
happen?
out?
I totally made a note to
For
bring that
sure.
up.
Holy
Yes.
shit, incest.
I didn't like that. That was off-putting, to say the least.
Yeah. I mean, that was they whether it was the way it was edited or the way it was acted, that was that woof,
Feeding
man.
him Jell-O? That's edgy.
Woo. Just the way she was looking at him.
And hopped on board.
Yeah, goddamn. She's riding the H train.
She's like, get up on this!
I don't know. He was technically the one on the H train, but it sounded good at the time. Yeah, okay, and so what's with the drug den that is continually empty? Granted, yeah. I know there was some zombie activity and a lot of blood and shit, but honestly, if you just needed a quiet place to shoot up, why would that not be full every single time that his parents wanted to go investigate the place?
And what's taking so long for zombies to get out of there and go eat other people?
Exactly.
And they're obviously gone because the one guy waits till dark to go. He found out in the morning that the place was horrible, and then he waits till the evening to go and check it out when he needs a flashlight. Stupid. Stupid.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either. And then the whole thing with the traffic and the fire trucks and the police, and we had no idea what was going on, and then we had to wait and see a video that leaked online to find out what really happened. That was kind of dumb. I didn't like that either. And then that firefighter got bit in the neck. Yet a whole another day goes by and there's still no, like, outbreak. I feel like this whole thing would have happened a lot quicker.
Well, you know, it all depends on how they turn. I mean, when they get bitten, do they just get the virus and then they have to wait and die before they turn? Or do they turn after a certain amount of time after getting bitten? How do the rules work?
They always die and then come back.
Because that's how it works in the regular Walking Dead. Right. They're all infected. They're just waiting to die before they come back.
Right. Correct.
I kind of got the sense that there is a little bit of a cover-up going on. And that's why people took so long to catch on to what was happening.
Big time, because there are some shots when they're showing, like, the L.A. cityscape and stuff. You would just see, like, a bum walking through a park, and just the way they were shuffling, it looked like that good old zombie shuffle. So, and that was, like, all the way from the beginning before we even started seeing attacks and stuff like that. So they were kind of, like, visually hinting that something was going on, and people just weren't noticing.
Right, and the proactive kid, the acne kid, he is, like, oh, it's going on in these other states, and, you know, it's not a flu, so he was already pervy to the, privy, rather, not pervy, he might be a perv, too.
he may be a little pervy, why not?
Yeah, he looks like he looks at the porn there.
Smuggling his butter knife into the pool?
Yeah, I totally thought he had, like, porn.
Yeah.
I don't know why he would have beeped, but I was thinking porn for some reason. Just how I'm wired, I guess.
Anyway,
horrible, hated it. I never want to watch it again.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll give it another week, see how the pacing goes.
Well, if it was any slower, it would be turned off. It was awful.
Sounds like crap.
It was crap. Let's move on to something amazing like the Star Wars, Dave.
Oh, holy shit, yes.
Holy balls of Star Wars. There's nothing bad about Star Wars except Randy lying about Kylo Ren's lightsaber, but we won't. We won't pick on Randy about that. Everyone just send your hate mail to Randy for lying to you.
Hey,
you want to defend yourself?
I never said accusations. It was that way in the movie. I just said that was how the action figure was. It wasn't even confirmed that that was a real action figure. It has since been confirmed, and the blades are connected on the 6-inch Kylo Ren action figure, even though all the new promotional images show that the blades are clearly not connected. But who knows? Let's wait and see the movie and see if they actually connect at any point in time.
Well, you guys don't like 6-inch figures. They're for hobos, you said.
I do not prefer the 6-inch figures, personally, no.
Nobody likes 6-inch penis, but a 3¾-inch figure.
Not even going to feel that rattling around in there, right, Justin? It's got to be...
Like throwing a hot dog down a hallway.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's not good for either of us.
Yeah.
Basically wasting everyone's time
here. Oh, that's sad. I like the hot dog down the hallway. That's funny, Randy.
I wish I could claim that as my own, but
that
I totally
made me blush.
You feel free to use it.
You made a dark man blush. Speaking of hot dogs and hallways, what would you guys say if I told you ILM was going to try to digitally resurrect Grand Moff Tarkin as Peter Cushing as Grand Moff Tarkin, made famous in A New Hope?
I say it's preposterous, outrageous.
I say holy shit, do it. Do it now and put him in every single Star Wars movie from here to eternity.
But why not just recast, Randy? Like, I mean, where are you going to find a skinny, pissed-off-sounding British dude?
Didn't they have that guy in the end of Episode 3? Who was that
guy? They had the guy at the end of Episode 3 in the makeup with the enhanced cheekbones and, like,
he looked like Quark
and everything. He looked kind of like a young Tarkin mixed with Mr. Burns from The Simpsons.
Well, let's just bring him back. It's been 10 years since that film.
Yeah, well, because technology is such that they can do a fairly lifelike version of Peter Cushing, I believe, and pull it off fairly well. And
yeah, the perfect word there, Randy, was when you said fairly well. You know what they can do perfectly well? A person.
Yeah, a person wearing prosthetic that isn't going to look quite right. No, I want actual Peter Cushing as, or at least something that looks like Peter Cushing as Grand Moff Tarkin.
Well, yeah, and, I want Peter Cushing too, but he sadly passed away 20 years ago.
All right. So look at it this way. By the time the movie comes out next year, right, it will have been 6 years since Tron Legacy. And look how well they did with making the all-digital young Jeff Bridges.
That was pretty good.
We are six. Now, granted, it wasn't perfect yet, but we are 6 years down the technology pipeline. There is no reason why we shouldn't be able to make a pretty damn flawless looking Peter Cushing.
Right.
Now, granted, you're still going to have a good voice actor.
We can, but should we? You're a filmmaker like I am. I mean, actors bring so much to the role. Peter Cushing, you know, with his lip curl, with his just disdainful look. You know, he put a lot of effort in the role, and he brought something to the role. And now we're not going to have that. We're going to have Gareth Edwards, like, making it like a digital puppet.
He called it in. He didn't even show up on set. He did it live via fucking satellite in A New Hope. He was mentally checked out. He did it for the paycheck, just like Alec Guinness, God rest his soul. But seriously, I think it's going to be fine because there is going to be a new actor breathing life into that character in the form of voice acting and, with any luck, performance capture. Because I think kind of, and I understand what you're saying about an actor bringing. Bringing very specific choices and bringing just a little panache to the role to make it distinctly them, and it's not going to be Peter Cushing. But here's how I think it's going to work. You're going to bring in a separate actor, do performance capture. They're going to do the voice. They're going to get credited as being Grand Moff Tarkin, even though it's going to look like Peter Cushing.
Can I just say that Charles Dance would be an amazing Tarkin? The guy that played Tywin Lannister?
Let's just do it.
I'd be down for that.
What? Maybe that's who Andy Serkis is going to be. He's going to be the motion capture. Now, and I completely agree with you, Rand. I'm not saying that it's not possible. I think that they can do it. It can be convincing, and it would look great. I just think that it's so much effort that they could, if they just recast, it would be so much easier, and I think it would have the same effect. And Tarkin, I wouldn't say he phoned it in. I think that his ambivalence and his arrogance is part of his character. I think Alec Guinness phoned it in because he just didn't care. But I think that Cushing, I think that's just part of his
charm. He wouldn't even wear the boots. He made the camera crew shoot him from the knees up because he wouldn't wear the uncomfortable boots. I mean, if you were really a slave to your craft, if you were a slave to your craft and you really cared about the end product, you would wear uncomfortable motherfucking boots. You wouldn't stop an entire goddamn production just so that they have to shoot you from the knees or above, or put a stupid fucking table in front of you so you don't see your feet, so that you can be comfortable in your house fuzzy slippers on set when everybody else around you is wearing uncomfortable goddamn boots.
But think of it this way, Randy. If they digitally recreate Tarkin, you know he's going to have like 5 seconds of screen time, just like young Jeff Bridges had such a small role. If they recast, he can have a larger and more important role in the film, and he can be more integral to the story. I don't want him, you know, he doesn't need to be on screen for like an hour of the time, but you can have a lot more of the people briefing Tarkin on like what's going on down on the planet. He's like, why the fuck haven't you killed these people yet? Now, it's like 12 of them. Let me send Vader down.
Now,
or
granted,
if you digitally do it, you're going to get him for like 2 minutes in the whole movie.
Right. Well, okay. There's a lot of truth to that. And granted, I haven't read the Tarkin novel or much of the old expanded universe that would have dealt more with Tarkin himself.
But Tarkin's I don't not find him in the expanded universe like at all, except
oh, really?
In
Legion.
Okay, and he's amazing.
I don't
I have to say it? This bickering is pointless.
Well done, sir. But I'm going to say I don't find him to be that interesting a character. He doesn't need a lot of screen time. So to me, it's okay if the CG version of him is only on screen for a minute or two, as long as he has some sort of impact, like large impact to the plot in those couple minutes. So less is more.
I agree. We'll have Tarkin.
Less is more. Let's just have a floating head, Dave.
Yeah, in a jar?
Yeah.
Like Futurama style?
Exactly.
You know what? This is perfect. No, perfect. He only appears via hologram.
Ooh, there you go. Better.
Via holographic transmission.
There's a blurry blue piece of shit.
Compromised, Randy.
Yeah.
Wolf of Tarkin will only be a hologram.
And it could be traveling through a mine or like through an asteroid field, so it's all sketchy transmission, so he can even look and sound terrible.
Do you hear that, Disney? It sounds like we are ready to helm our own Star Wars anthology story.
A Grand Moff Tarkin film told only through holograms.
Cell phones, yeah.
But to your point, Randy, the Tarkin novel is very good, and you should read it.
I do want to read it.
What's really good about it is it's like him and Vader against the world, and
like you're like a buddy cop shit. Movie.
Yeah, seriously, like I'm like you got like the smartest dude in the world and like the like badass like fighter, you know, and like it's just.
Do they say we're getting too old for this shit?
Yeah, like we're getting too old for this shit.
Oh my god! If but, it I mean, was it's like
the two of them and like eight stormtroopers against like the rebellion. And they win.
That would be great because if it were a Lethal Weapon style movie, the Death Star is literally their lethal weapon.
Gary Busey's in it.
I hope so.
Gary Busey could be Tarkin.
No, I'm not gonna. I will not allow it.
I don't know.
You know what else is crazy?
He could be the leader of the rebellion. That'd be funny.
Did you hear that Drew Struzan, the poster artist, said The Force Awakens is the greatest or the best Star Wars film yet?
I say it's Kami Pinko propaganda.
No. I don't know. I think we've heard it before. I remember back in the late 90s when people had seen early screenings or bits and pieces of Episode 1 talking about how it's going to blow everything away and how it's the best Star Wars movie ever. And then it came out and
it was.
They were wrong. So I'm reserving judgment, but I am
my Taco Bell toys,
optimistic.
Randy, say that it's the best film.
Oh, man. I have a Mace Windu topper.
I have all the toppers.
Dude, if our buddy Rick McCallum could have been believed, it was going to be Jar Jar was going to be the best character, everybody's favorite.
Yeah, but he swore.
Yeah.
He said bad words, and it made me feel uncomfortable and wrong. Who? Star Wars.
Who?
Rick McCallum. He was the executive producer. He's the one who was responsible for like special editions and the prequels.
Right. He's fired.
He's the one that all... When people are pissed at Lucas, they're really pissed at Rick McCallum. Mm-hmm. Just no one knows who he is, so they get pissed at Lucas.
Yeah, I noticed how he's faded away in the last 10 years.
Yeah, well, if your claim to fame was the prequels, the special edition changes that everybody hates, and Indy 4, you'd slink back into the fucking rabbit hole.
Is he in any way associated with...
Yeah, he was
with,
a producer. Because he was real big into the... He was involved with the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
And that's that I know.
He met Lucas, and so when they had Indy 5, he was one of the producers. Him and Kathleen Kennedy. Mm-hmm. She ended up unscathed. Kathleen Kennedy's name's on like every single one of those two, but she's like, "Yeah, I'm just gonna lay low, and eventually Lucas will retire, and I'll take over."
She's been around a long time.
Yeah, okay. I mean, she's Spielberg's lady too. Like she produces all of his films too,
like Congo.
Yeah,
and you know
Frank Marshall.
The last Lucas movie he produced was Red Tails.
Well, that movie's
can't believe
shit.
Those two still work together after the prequels.
Why they made $1 trillion?
Well, yeah, but
show business, Randy. They did well for themselves.
The business of show.
Do you know what the highest grossing Star Wars film is? Episode 1.
Hmm.
Like so Rick McCallum sick.
Rick McCallum spearheaded the most successful Star Wars film.
It's on his resume.
All right, let's change the subject.
How about that? Let's more sci-fi. How about fucking Prometheus 2? The most, the highest in demand sequel of all time.
Said no.
How about Alien
ever.
5 instead?
Either way, do we really care about either one of these? I mean, I love Alien just as much as the next guy, but I mean, 5? I don't know. I'm done with it. I think. It's run its course.
And I'm kind of done with, you know, really Scott. I mean, he's kind of... His star has just faded so much. And I say that knowing that I'm going to love The Martian when it comes out. We'll talk about that later. But, like, I don't think they need to wait on him for Alien 5. They got Neil Blomkamp. He's going to direct it. He's been kicking ass with all this amazing concept art. Just say, you know what, Ridley, here's what we're going to do. We'll give you an honorary executive producer title. You know, you can Spielberg this thing. And let us do all the heavy lifting. They can make the movies at the same time. Their cast don't overlap. Their crew doesn't overlap because they're different directors. Nothing overlaps on this except Ridley Scott. And Ridley Scott is half the director that he was 20 years ago. So, you know, 2000, I guess, was Gladiator. So, I mean, it's been 15 years since Ridley Scott's really been in the equation.
Troy. Did he do that?
No, he did not do Troy.
Who was
Troy? Blomkamp take over and... Let's just move on.
Oh, that was Wolfgang.
Yeah.
Das Boot.
Das am I wrong here?
You're kind of wrong. You usually are. We let you talk. No, that makes sense, Dave. I mean, we have the Chappie there. We have the Elysium. We got, what's the other movie? District 9?
District 9.
Yeah. I think that the man behind the camera loves science fiction, and he would do Alien right.
Yeah. I mean, don't wait for Ridley Scott. I mean, his credits are not as impressive as they once were.
Especially since Prometheus isn't even, you know, a direct sequel anyway to Alien, so who gives a shit?
Yeah.
They don't rely on one another.
Here's Ridley Scott's last movies. Exodus, Gods and Kings, terrible. The Counselor, Prometheus, which Justin likes. Robin Hood, which is terrible. Body of Lies, which is stupid. American Gangster, which is awful. A Good Year, which is no good. Kingdom of Heaven, which is just atrocious with Orlando Bloom, and it's like 95 hours long. Matchstick Man, okay, Black Hawk Down. So 2001 was his last good movie.
Wait, I liked the gangster movie. Is that the one with my man? With Denzel Washington? Did you say American Gangster?
I did, yeah.
I like that movie. That's no good.
It's fair. I mean, it's not, you know, Black Hawk Down or Gladiator.
I like Black Hawk Down. That movie's amazing.
So,
G.I. Jane?
G.I. Jane. That movie's good. I like G.I. Jane.
I don't think that it should be called that.
Is that offensive?
No, but it doesn't make sense.
But she's a girl, and she's a Navy SEAL.
I know. I mean, they've chose that name because it's a relatable name, because people immediately think G.I. Joe, and I get that, but it still makes no sense. Government issue Jane? That's stupid.
There's got to be like a clever pun with something like SEALs, some female reference or something like.
That's incorrect.
Navy, I don't know.
I like Thelma and Louise. Anyway, doesn't matter.
So what I'm saying is, get the
I'm not just up. Pulling that out of a hat. You made that movie.
Yeah. Don't delay Alien 5 because of Prometheus 2. I mean, if you want to delay them because the properties, like, you know, since they're kind of in the same universe, you don't want to, you know, oversaturate the properties. You know, that's an understandable concern, but they're doing it solely because they don't want to.
Well, why don't they just save $100 million and not make Prometheus 2? Is that out of the question?
You mean no? Don't make the sequel that nobody wants.
Yeah, that seems.
That's you.
I'm going places, Dave.
I'm not even trying anymore.
Speaking of trying, let's talk about trying to survive on the Mars, there, Dave.
It's hard.
Matt Damon can do it. I'm rooting for him.
I hope it pans out for him.
So you read The Martian?
I did in like 2 days.
There's flying saucers. There's little green men.
Nope, no, that's the Christopher Lloyd movie, my favorite Martian.
Oh.
This is different.
Is this more like Mars Attacks?
Yeah.
It's, all right, it's like
I love that movie. Remember when they sneak up on the old lady with the laser?
Yeah. Creeping.
She's got her headphones on.
Like, I don't know if it gets any better than that. That's hysterical.
That's pretty good. I like it a lot. Natalie Portman is in that movie.
That's true.
Everybody is in that movie.
Jack Nicholson. There's like 12 Oscar performances in that movie.
Yeah.
Well, they're not Oscar performances.
Well, 12 people with Oscars or 12 Oscar winners. Yes. It's pretty funny. Back when Tim Burton was kind of cool. But yeah, The Martian. It's an incredible read. It went really quick, and Matt Damon is gonna just crush it. It feels like Andy Weir, who wrote the book, was writing for Matt Damon, and yeah, it's pretty cool. It's about, you know, an astronaut who gets left behind on Mars and has to survive on his own until rescue can come his way.
How much of it takes place on Earth?
So
the trailer, I'm led to believe that they plan the mission, they go on the mission, and then they report a failure.
If Matt Damon's
telling the story from the book, how does he know about them reporting the failure?
I would say in Earth is probably a total of 15%, probably.
Okay.
Maybe 20.
Is it linear, or is it kind of jumping back and forth?
It's completely linear.
Oh. It's boring.
But what's good is it doesn't fuck around. Like, it start like page one is they're leaving Mars because things are going bad. Like, it's not like We don't have like
what could go bad on Mars. I don't understand.
Like, they have weather. Like they have like sandstorms, and there's just one sandstorm that forces them to have to abandon Mars, and Matt Damon don't make it.
Isn't the opening line in that book like out of Matt Damon's journal, and it says pretty much, "I'm pretty much fucked."
Yeah,
like the very first line of the book.
Yeah, that is the opening of the book. Is I'm gonna pull it up right here.
That's a winning opening right there. I'm in. I'm hooked.
Yeah, it's like I'm pretty much fucked. That's my considered opinion. Fucked. So yeah, so it's definitely a fun read. It goes fast and it's enjoyable. So if you want to know what happens, go ahead and read it. If you want to stay spoiler free and you want to know if he lives or dies, you know, don't read it.
Yeah, wait, watch the movie, then read the book.
Or just hit me up on Twitter and I'll spoil it for you.
It's based off a true story. Just look it up on the Google.
Or do the Wikipedia, which is how we read most of our books around here.
Just go scroll down all the end. Oh, okay, good, that happens.
It's the Cliff Notes of the 21st century.
Yeah, that's how I read my comics.
Yeah, that's the cheapest way. Believe you me.
Who needs all that art? Just give me
the words,
paragraphs of what's going on.
Shit, like the day of.
Speaking of comics, let's talk about Nathan Fillion and how he wants to be Mr. Booster Gold.
That's the only way I'd be interested.
Mr. Gold, Booster fucking Gold.
Me.
Never heard of him.
That's you're a better person for it. Character's a piece of shit.
Really?
Yep.
That's sad.
He's
Kanye West came back as a superhero.
Yes.
God, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Kill it with fire.
He's a very happy hero. He's always splashing his abs.
But see, I like Nathan Fillion, and I don't want to associate him with Kanye West in any way.
Nathan Fillion could probably do it. Basically, Booster Gold is from the future. He's from like the 31st century or some shit like that. And so he comes back to today's age. But in his age, he's like the biggest celebrity in the world. Like how everyone knows Superman. He's like the Superman, but he's like he like likes the spotlight.
And he's like a NASCAR stock car. He's got like sponsors all over him, shit like that. Like he is got endorsements.
And so he loves the celebrity of being a superhero. And like he comes back here and, you know, in the future, they're like, oh, yeah, you're like the new Superman. But he comes back to our time and there is a Superman. So he's always going to be like second best, third best if you count Batman. And he's not the guy. And so he has to like come to terms with that. And so he's always trying to like become more cool and more famous. I'm sure Tyler and Jeff are going to just berate us. They love Booster Gold and they're going to yell at us, I'm sure.
That's funny because the way that you described it there actually makes it sound interesting. It sounds like that is a book I'd want to read or a movie I'd want to watch. I don't know.
Just go to Wikipedia. You get all 50 years of his history in like 25 minutes.
There you go. In and out. Done.
Yeah.
I like it.
Don't give DC any of your money. They make shitty movies. And they have dumb characters.
Who's making the Dante's Inferno?
Warner Brothers. Oh. They want to create a universe, you know, with the Divine Comedy and tell it over a large span. You know, not just have it as one movie. Have it be like the entire spectrum of Dante's work.
Oh, and each book is like two movies, maybe?
Probably. They can Hobbit that shit. The Warner Brothers did do Hobbit.
Oh.
They are the master of turning like small prose into 5-10 movies. But on the plus side, the Hobbit's coming back to the theater, so you know we got that.
Are you serious?
Yeah, the extended editions are gonna have like a limited theatrical run.
Pass.
And speaking of coming back to the theater, Jurassic World is coming back in IMAX, I heard.
Yeah, if you missed it. I mean, I don't know if anyone did. It's like $1.7 billion.
No kidding.
Doesn't it come out in October on the Blu-rays?
Yeah. I think they're just trying to get like one last like push. Yeah. I think they're grasping at $2
billion. $2
billion? Like, it's like they can smell it, and they're like, oh, we can almost make it. But I think they'll fall short, but... Man. That would be cool.
Has a movie made $2 billion yet?
Yeah, Titanic and Avatar have both grossed over.
They're both $2
billion? Yeah. Avatar is like $2.8 billion.
I think Civil War is gonna hit the $2 billion mark.
I would say if it wasn't coming so soon after Avengers, because I think like the first Avengers was like lightning in a bottle. Like everyone was excited, like, oh shit, they brought all these people together. And toward the second one, the polish was off. And it was like, it's still kind of cool. To where I think people are kind of...
But I mean, we talked about it on this podcast. Like, before we saw the movie, you know, I was like, I think fucking Captain America 3 is going to be way better. And then we started talking about it, and then the more we talked about it, the more of a reality that seemed true. So we're
I think it will be an infinitely better film.
I think it's going to crush it.
Yeah, I hope so. I think it it'll be pretty good. I mean, the footage we saw was pretty impressive at D23.
They need to put Chris Pratt in it. He puts butts in seats.
Apparently he does. But yeah, it's starting next year. This is the last. We only had two comic book movies in 2015. 2016 starts The Deluge. Mm. And 2016 is just when it just explodes.
All over
our face. Exactly. Speaking of all over our face, let's talk about some your fun little list there, Randy.
Oh, hell yes. I'm sitting here just looking at this list as we speak. All right, so what I've got for you today, submitted for your approval, 10 of the worst cartoons adapted from live-action movies. And some of these are actually quite near and dear to my heart, which is sad to say.
Like Beetlejuice?
Beetlejuice does not make the list. Bill and Ted's? Joke.
Spaceballs, Tron,
this comes
Transformers,
Screen Rant. Tron didn't make the list either. Screen Rant.
Oh,
all right. So the first one on the list here is Spaceballs, the animated series, which I wanted so much to love, and it debuted on G4. If any of you folks remember that, it was a really fun kind of geek themed cable channel. Did a lot of concentrating on video games. And whatnot, but they brought back a lot of the original voice talent. Mel Brooks was the voice of President Scroob and Yogurt, and Daphne Zuniga was back as Princess Vespa. Joan Rivers was Dot Matrix. Pretty sure everybody else was either dead or unavailable or uninterested to come back, but it was just terrible. They took what made the movie so magical and completely threw it out the window. Because the movie itself is a Star Wars spoof, and sure, it may reference other movies and things, but each individual episode was referencing or spoofing a different movie series. They did one on Harry Potter, on Jurassic Park. They even did a spoof on Grand Theft Auto. It was all sorts of weird, and it didn't remember its roots as to being a Star Wars spoof that mixed in other elements. It was just bad. And what made it even worse is the first two or three episodes that were released were a complete animated version of the movie, like a retelling of the original live-action movie, but it had been neutered. Like, all the best jokes and anything that was even slightly racy was removed from it, and it felt stale and bad. And this is from a guy who absolutely loves and adores the original Spaceballs and Mel Brooks in general. So, sad to say, that is the first one on our list. Don't worry, I'm not gonna wax nostalgic on nearly all these other ones, especially the next one, Dumb and Dumber, the animated series from 1995.
What? I don't remember that.
95. I have to imagine it was fairly short lived.
I'm pretty sure I saw an episode because like right after Dumb and Dumber 2 came out, people were talking about it. And I think I was like, there was a Dumb and Dumber TV show, and I think I tried to watch it, and I watched like 8 minutes of it.
Yeah, they made 13 episodes, and it was canceled after the first season.
Still better than the second movie, or the third movie, I guess.
So this one really caught me by surprise. Okay, so you guys are familiar with the Friday series of movies?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they made Friday the Animated Series in 2007.
Yeah, that's weird, man.
I gotta find this.
That is really weird. Yeah, it's...
Does it say what network it was on?
You know, it doesn't.
MTV2.
There you go.
MT blah, 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 teleblah. Remember those commercials?
Yeah. Eight
episodes before it was canceled. Yep.
Sorry.
Next one on our list is Return to the Planet of the Apes, 1975, an animated Planet of the Apes series, which is kind of a neat idea in the 70s, Planet of the Apes. You know, that was sci-fi of its era. Star Trek was off the air. Star Wars wasn't created yet. What else were you going to do? Fucking Planet of the Apes.
I've seen every episode.
Of the animated series?
Yeah, it came with... I got a super mega box set of Planet of the Apes.
It looks like Johnny Quest, like the animation style.
It's not that bad. I mean, considering like the rest of Planet of the Apes, I mean, it's a movie about, you know, talking apes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's... But it has its charm, just like the Star Trek animated series has its charm. I would be surprised if that also doesn't appear on your list. That's also not that great.
You know, I don't believe it does, but you know what?
Is Starship Troopers on your list?
No.
Oh.
Regal Roughnecks?
Star Wars Ewoks 1985.
Oh, man, that's classic.
I was actually guilty of watching some of that when I was a kid, although I was more a fan of the Droids animated series. Because at least there was more shooting and violence and guns and stuff, and it wasn't so cutesy with the Ewoks, which was aimed towards the younger crowd. It really was.
The movie was violent. I remember that.
The movies were kind of cool. The made for TV movies. They were,
yeah, like when the little girl's family dies.
Yeah, they were scary. I didn't like those movies because they were so scary. Because people died. I mean, you didn't see people die in the original trilogy, but they killed off her entire family, and her brother gets stuck under the water and can't get out. It's terrifying. When you're a kid. Seriously, that shit scarred
that
me.
That piece of shit needs to learn how to swim better.
Bad way.
Gonna kick.
Speaking of kicking, 1989 brought us the Karate Kid animated series, and beyond that, the action figures that actually came out in time for Karate Kid 2, and I remember they had these little, like, Karate Chop action, and they came with little boards and pieces of glass or ice or whatever they're supposed to be that you can break through.
Sato had the log, and then Danielson, there was the Karate Kid 2 Danielson had the ice that he had to break.
I thought those were the coolest toys. I never had one, but one of the neighbor kids down the street did. And we probably would not have had them without the Karate Kid animated series, 1989. All right.
I think when you bought the karate tournament where the mat that they're supposed to fight on, I think it actually came with the ref.
Yeah, and I think it came with more stuff to break, too. It was like a playset, proper playset. Next one on our list, 1991, Little Shop, based on Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes.
The animated series. Yeah.
Was this dumb cartoons based off of dumb movies?
Pretty much. This one also only lasted 13 episodes. Next one, do you guys remember movie series Problem Child?
Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah?
Was John Ritter in that movie?
Yes
he was. He was the guy who adopted
the dad.
That's what
Michael
I thought.
Richards is in it, too.
So they made an animated series about this fucking kid. This kid who had been given back to the orphanage 30 times by different families because he was a piece of shit. They made an actual animated series about it.
They also made a second Problem Child with a girl Problem Child.
His wife in Problem Child was his wife in real life. Amy Yazbek or whatever the hell her name was.
Really? I didn't know they were married in real life. The more you know.
Yeah, fun point of interest, the guy that played the principal of the school that this kid went to in the animated series was voiced by Gilbert Gottfried.
Nice.
He was also in the live action show,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Mr. Peabody.
Yeah.
He's a piece of shit.
Principal Igor Peabody. Yeah. I didn't realize that was the same character. That's awesome. Yeah, this one caught me off guard, too. I had no idea there was an animated series. 1994, Free Willy. I never saw the movie, but apparently they thought it was good enough to make an animated series, which also only lasted 13 episodes. 13 seems to be the magic number. That's like when a network wants to order like a half season of a show, they'll do like 10 or 12 or 13 episodes. And it looks like a lot of these only made it that far. So sad. Next one. This one is I actually watched an earlier version of it, I think. RoboCop, Alpha Commando, 1998. I remember there being an earlier version of RoboCop as well, which is what they made the action figures from, because I know for sure they didn't make the action figures based on the R-rated movie.
I remember the TV series.
But this one is pretty bad looking, because the screenshot that they show in this article, he's wearing like a big Panama hat, and he's wearing like these Bermuda shorts. It just looks terrible.
He's on vacation, right?
He's covered in pink paint. Yeah. He looks all casual.
Jesus.
All right, so then
They make toys where they were kind of like the Terminator toys with big old bazookas and obscene
They had big stupid
weapons
but, yeah. But the interesting thing, the hook, if you will, for that action figure line, is it came with a roll of caps. Like, remember those paper
red caps.
And it came in a roll, and you could insert them in their back, and they had this little trigger mechanism you can do with your thumb, and it would actually, you know, he pulls out his gun, and you pop, 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 and it sounds like you're shooting a cap gun, because you're shooting caps out of your action figure.
Or move, creep.
It was interesting. But the last one on our list is Napoleon Dynamite, 2012. Did you guys even know there was an animated series?
Yeah, it was like on Fox or some shit, right?
Oh my god. It only had a 6-episode run. And you know what? I'm okay with that. not the biggest fan of the movie.
I can't believe that either. That movie is awesome.
No, really? Awful. Awful.
Oh, I love it.
Bet you do.
It was so good.
Maybe it's one of those movies I need to revisit at some point in time. But you know what is mysteriously missing from this? The Police Academy animated series, for example. I know that wasn't good. You guys had mentioned the Ghostbusters animated series earlier, but to be honest, I love that series.
That was
I
great.
Loved the toys. I loved that Slimer was a good guy. I loved everything about that show.
I like how their jumpsuits were all just a little bit different color.
Yeah, yeah. That way they can easily distinguish who is who. I mean, that and their like Egon's overly dramatic hairstyle was well different than it was in the movie, but it was very distinctive for the show. It was fun. And the guy
super red frames for his glasses.
Yeah. And the guy that voiced Peter Venkman was the same voice as Garfield the cat, which is fun because in the Garfield movies, he was eventually voiced by Bill Murray.
What was the cartoon that was after Garfield and Friends? And there was like a little duck and an egg named Sheldon or something?
Yeah, yeah. It was by the same cartoonist that did
Jim Davis.
Garfield, yeah.
Yeah, what is that show was called?
It? Something like something U.S., like Farm U.S. or something like that.
I remember it being really funny, though.
Yeah, I liked it.
It was funnier than Garfield, that's for sure.
Trying to look it up
Google
here.
Yeah. U.S. Acres.
There you go.
U.S. Acres. Yeah, you were right with the U.S.
Yeah, it was on like Garfield and Friends.
Yeah. The first 15 minutes was one show, and then the other was split up.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Like how Heathcliff used to do that, and then it was Riff Raff or some other shit.
Yeah. With a cat.
Yeah. With like a Samuel Jackson hat.
Fun thing about Friday of the Animated Series, it was made in 2007, and it's about Craig and Smokey. So that means it came out after all three of the films. So it's kind of funny that they went back to Smokey.
I like Smokey.
But no Chris Tucker. Which reminds me, don't watch the Netflix comedy special with Chris Tucker. It's not as funny as you'd hope. It was a little sad. I was like, aw. This is what happens when you demand too much money and no one will hire you. And then you're like, well, maybe he saved his money. And then like 1 minute in, he's talking about how poor he is. I'm like, oh, nope, guess not.
That's too bad.
Yeah. He does not have an impressive IMDb page, Chris Tucker.
They need a new Fifth Element movie.
They do. They're working on Rush Hour 4, so we'll see if that works out for them.
Yeah, Jackie Chan's got to be pretty old.
Yeah. Especially because the third Rush Hour is pretty awful.
Never saw it.
It's not good. It's not even as good as the first or second.
I hear we have a game tonight.
Holy shit, do we ever. This game is based off of Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh, man, David's fucked.
Glad I watched it.
The worst show on television. Next to Crazy Wives of Whatever in Las Vegas.
That's probably better.
Yes.
Zombie boobs.
Are you ready? Just answer it. Just chime in when you know it. This is very short. Four questions.
Is it a trivia? What are we playing here?
Just, you'll figure it out.
All right, let's go. Just jump in. No preamble.
The rules are, fuck you, figure it out.
Basically.
Just answer when we know the answer?
Yes.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yes. Ready.
Amanda, are you awake?
Yes.
All righty. What type of building did the flamboyant tweaker wake up in?
Church.
Very good. Randy, church.
So I should have
watched. Take me to church! No,
you're like, you haven't seen the show, you'll be fine.
That's the only one. That's the only one. True or false? The kids on this show fucking suck pee noose.
True!
Very good. Amanda. See, Dave? Number three. Who knew Calvin was going to die?
Everybody.
Everyone.
Everybody. Dave,
all right. Yeah. Dave gets on the board.
Follow up. Did you peg him as a drug dealer?
Yes.
Yes.
Amanda. Oh, my God. Of course, they got to make the black guy a drug dealer on the show, right?
Of course.
Jesus. Okay. Amanda, it's in the lead. All right, number four. And the final question, the golden snitch, if you will. What letter grade did I give this show?
F.
Ooh. Next guess.
Minus.
D minus.
Oh, next guess.
I for incomplete.
No.
Z.
Ire.
Did you give it a B minus?
No, you said D minus.
D plus.
Very good. Dave wins.
You gave it D
no
plus?
Wins.
I know my alphabet.
Well, there's room for improvement.
I said Z for okay. Zombie.
Nah.
That's a good zombie. One. Randy, you get 1,000 points for creativity. Randy wins the game.
Oh, man.
And I'm sad.
Oh. That was close. We'll have it a three-way tie. How about that?
It was close. Randy won by 1,000 points.
Well, I did some well done, Slytherin, but I do have some last-minute points to award.
Sweet.
How about that?
Do we all get awarded 1,000 points so that I win again?
Well, no, because... How about we just all shake hands? Call it a day. Yes, Dave, you won. You are still number one new hit show.
Like
Super A Mega number one in my book. That is the game.
It's a good game.
Yeah.
I like it. So
it was, people can play at home. There's
it
like
was
a home
quick.
Yes.
Yeah, people are going to be shouting at their iPods and their phones.
F.
You would think.
Have you guys talked to anyone who's seen the show, or did are they
talk to you, fuckers?
It?
That's it.
But I didn't know if anyone else had been in the out with the public.
So
with,
I watched it.
Folk.
I watched it with my roommate, and we both agreed at how horrible it was. We were shouting at the TV and making horrible comments as we were watching it.
Right. Well, you said D plus. What do you give it, Randy?
I'm gonna be a little bit more generous and give it a C minus.
Amanda, what do you say?
Oh, I was going to say a solid B.
Oh. The effects were nice. Like, the zombie effects looked good. But the show itself sucks.
It's because they weren't going over the top with, like, the rot and the decay and the blood and everything. Mm. They went a little bit more realistic.
They're new zombies, Randy.
Fresh
zombies. I think maybe why I'm being so generous is because I kind of enjoyed unpacking, like, how everything was going to go down. Though I do agree that it felt like it took them forever to figure out what was going on. But if you think about it, like, why would they figure it out sooner? Like, in their world, like, the possibility of zombies does not exist.
But is this a world where zombie movies are a thing? I mean, Are zombies a work of fiction in this
But who
world?
Was the... Wasn't it like the stoner was the one who was like telling people and people like, oh, it's the fucking idiot stoner?
But that's the thing. One of the worst things is... So my biggest fear is some not being believed. Like, that is a legitimate fear that I have that something crazy is going to happen and no one's going to believe me. So I get that. Why not make the one guy that's seen it be the one that no one trusts?
Mm-hmm.
That makes perfect sense. There's your conflict right there. It's like, yeah, but... sure, buddy. You're just, you know... hitting the fucking peace pipe a little bit too hard.
To Randy's question, though, Robert Kirkman has said in the past that zombies, like the concept of zombies, does not exist in that world until they actually run into them. So they don't have, like, Night of the Walking Dead and stuff.
Right. So
they don't
George
have the
Miller
Walking
is dead,
dead, in, the
in,
walking
their,
dead.
In their universe. He does not exist.
Yeah.
That's why they call them walkers and not zombies?
Right.
Because... Yeah, you never hear the word zombie ever in that series.
Interesting.
The more you know.
He makes a world where he came up with everything.
Yeah, it seems a little more a little convenient there.
Yeah.
Revisionist history, if you ask me.
Jeez, dick.
He took some artistic license.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Motherfucker can't even color his comics. It's all in black.
Color ink is too expensive,
that's
David.
Bullshit.
Coloring is hard.
I don't like. You just
gotta drawing's hard.
Yeah, you gotta like those lines. They just look like they're moving all the time.
The only color that should be there is just red, and it's not even ink. It's fucking human blood.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's got the same cardinal sin that most black and white comics have. Is that like there's just like no detail. Like everything in like the foreground, like the people talking, looks good, but then like everything else is like just like muddied, and you're like, eh, this is crap. Where's Daryl? Oh, wait, he's not in this one? Oh, man.
Wait, Daryl's not in the comic?
No, Daryl's not even in the comic. Created for the show, and he was meant to be like a throwaway character in the show.
But everybody loved him?
But the women loved him.
Like,
they're throwing their panties at the TV.
That's what I do.
I don't see the show going without Daryl, and we know it can't go without Rick.
Yes,
so.
our Jess Hicks wrote a nice piece about can the show survive without Daryl?
And what was the answer?
No.
A resounding no.
It was, are you fucking nuts?
It might not even be able to survive with Daryl.
Oh, I mean, I enjoyed the last season.
I was over it by then.
The only thing I didn't like is how they killed Beth. I get that they could kill her, but I didn't like how they killed her.
Yeah.
I finally got to really like her, and before I could be in love with her, they killed her, which bothered me. I think it would have been way more impactful if she died near the finale.
Yeah. We had, like, two major characters die two episodes in a row.
We had, like, a billion die, though. I mean, aside from Bob, there was Bob, there was Tyson.
Tyrese,
and fucking, and Beth.
That's now nice. It's just a clicking time clock till the off Glenn.
Oh, and what's his face? Noah.
Oh, yeah, Noah.
Yeah.
That was horrible. Yeah. He had the worst death ever.
Oh,
I hated that scene. Getting like his face all eaten up and everything.
Yeah, fuck that show.
Ugh.
Sounds amazing.
It's a good show, but fuck it. It makes me feel something, and I don't like feeling things. God damn it.
Did the one guy die? The kid that made it so Noah died? Is he still alive?
Yeah, didn't he get skewered in like a convenience store or something? Like up against a... Or was that one of the other
That
assholes?
Was the guy. That was the son.
Oh, okay.
That was the roof sheriff's caving son, in. The mayor's son or whatever.
Yeah. I have a fuzzy
Aaron
memory.
Aaron Stone's cousin.
Yeah. He was a war hero.
And vice president for 8 years. A war hero. Sharon Stone's cousin.
Cool.
Man.
I'm ready for that show to come back.
Just because it means that this show that you hate will be done?
Mm. I don't know. I'm just not into it, Dave. Too slow. I don't like the slow burn. I need results.
I like the slow burn when it's something you can Netflix or you can binge watch. Then a slow burn really works well when you can kind of watch it at your
when
own
it
pace.
Doesn't have to be slow, when you can power through it and make it faster.
Well, it's still a slow burn. Just because it's a slow burn doesn't mean you have to watch it week to week. I mean, you're still, it just means that, you know, you get a couple episodes, so it builds like character and tension and stuff like that. Because first thing, like when you see like a bad guy who's like shitting over everyone, you're like, oh, he's gonna get his come up and soon, and you know, so then you wait a couple episodes and it feels good, as opposed to he gets his come up and like Daredevil, you know, it takes like all the way until the Kingpin finally kind of gets what he's got coming to him, and then you kind of feel bad about it. You're like, oh, maybe he wasn't so bad after all.
Nah, he's pretty bad.
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
He decapitates a dude with a car door.
Oh, God, that was so gross.
I'm so anxious for season two.
Yeah, who knows when we'll get it.
Yeah.
Next year.
Maybe.
With the Punisher.
That's what they're hoping for, but they have... did Jessica Jones, and they got the Luke Cage movie, or show.
Just so I don't know. Do it. What the problem is.
Well, Punisher is supposed to be appearing in Daredevil.
Yeah, it's going to be Shane from Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I like him.
He was a piece of shit in the show, but he's cool, though.
Who, Shane?
Yeah.
I liked him a lot. I thought he was the most relatable character on that show.
He was the character that
he wanted to be. He was the survivor. He wasn't into all this other bullshit. He was just like, this is what we got to do to survive. And no one listened to him. And look at what happened.
I don't know. I kind of felt. I felt happy when he died.
Well, that's just because he went a little crazy.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
I'm glad you did. Killed
poor Otis.
He was banging abroad, and the husband came back.
Yeah. Oh, that shit will drive you insane.
That is complicate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like him. What's his name? John Byrne?
J. Something.
Bernthal?
Bechel.
Zooey Deschanel?
No, I like Shane.
Shane Deschanel?
Yeah, no way. No Chanel.
Chanel number 5.
No me gusta de Chanel.
Anyway, are we done?
Done.
Woo.
Last week, Amanda, was your birthday.
Yes.
You happy week after your birthday.
And you didn't want to spend your birthday with us assholes.
And now today is your brother's birthday.
Yep.
Do your parents have an anniversary 9.5 months ago? By chance.
Wait, what?
When's your parents' anniversary? Just out of curiosity.
Well, they're divorced now. So...
I know, but do you remember when they got married?
Is it like April December? 4th.
We're trying to track their mating pattern.
They were Christmas babies. Everyone's happy around Christmas. So your parents really like Christmas.
Like Christmas is a big deal in our family, Dave.
Yeah, it was. Probably, Christmas was probably the one time of the year that my dad was actually, like, a nice person.
Hey, oh, gave you three kids.
Nothing like the holidays, a little eggnog, and a little... Man.
Amanda, I remember your very first Christmas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was at Grandma's old house. And I remember you got this giant stuffed Mickey Mouse. I totally remember that. And I got Mouse Trap, and you got this giant fucking Mickey Mouse. I was like, wait a minute. My mouse is a lot smaller than her mouse. Fucked up. Well, thank you. You got to plug in? You got to plug it? You got to say something?
Yeah, I got to stick it in. Stick it out and plug it in. Yeah. All right.
That's how we do.
That is how we do. Fan Expo Toronto, Canada, Saturday, September 5th, Nonstop to Comic-Con is going to be playing 5:30 p.m. All you Canadian geeks, check it out. We're also going to be heading to Long Beach Comic-Con in fabulous Long Beach, California, Sunday, September 13th at 1 p.m. We're also going to be hitting SummerSlam Film Festival in Freeport, Texas, September 26th and 27th. After that, we're going to be hitting the Steamhouse Con in Modesto, California from October 2nd to 4th. Then after that, we're going to be at New York Comic-Con playing during Super Week, October 7th and 8th in fabulous New York. Then we're that one we're super looking forward to, and we're going to be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, with the First Glance Film Festival, October 23rd through 25th, and we're going to be going to Tucson, Arizona, for Tucson Comic Con, November 7th and 8th. So be sure to check out a Nonstop to Comic Con screening near you. We are taking over North America.
Sounds like it. Yeah, calendar. Is there a Nonstop to Comic Con fan club that people can sign up for to get notices when all these festivals are happening?
You can like our Facebook page, and you will be invited to all of our events, which happen to be all of our screenings. And follow us on Twitter for all the up to date info.
What's the Twitter handle?
At NS2CC. That's NS the number 2CC. Nonstop to Comic Con.
Nonstop to Comic Con is too long for a Twitter handle, Justin. Don't laugh at me.
Sometimes I try. Spell the dash.
You couldn't do the at Nonstop?
The hyphen.
Was Nonstop taken?
Yeah, it's that Liam Neeson movie.
Right.
I thought that was your guys' movie.
Yeah, we did it.
We haven't animated Liam Neeson in our movie.
Yours has the snakes.
Yeah, we put the bomb in by the door and, you know, hope for the best.
And then does he get cut in half and, like, fall down a... shaft or something.
The people get inside the giant snake and they fly the snake the rest of the way.
I sure hope so.
What about the soul? Is it a soul plane? Is that your guys' movie?
Soul.
Hello.
We did shoot in the same studio as Soul Plane.
Oh, there you go. How fun.
Yeah. We shared hallowed ground with Soul Plane.
Is it like an Indian burial ground?
It is. It's like Pet Cemetery.
The ground is sour.
We bury the movie and then it comes
back.
What
you put in the ground isn't what comes out.
Ugh, that movie gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, it did. It's got your girlfriend, Denise Crosby.
I know.
Yeah.
She's a finding woman.
They kill a kid like 2 minutes into that thing.
What?
They're off the races. They kill kids like 1 minute into that movie. They're off the races.
Yeah. It's too bad.
Kill that Gabe kid. Sorry. Pretty sure no one liked him anyways.
The baby? The toddler?
He came back as a real prick.
He dies like in the middle.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
I guess so. Hit by a truck.
Yeah, and his little shoe goes flying. It's fucked up. Anywho, thank you for listening to another fun and festive episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. We talked about the science, the Star Wars, the Mars,
handies.
The zombies, the handies.
Lots of handies.
Lots of handies. Did you guys listen to this week's episode of the Pixelated Podcast by chance?
I did.
Not yet.
You mean also known as 45 minutes of how much can Justin irritate Steven before Steven goes on a murderous rampage?
Yeah, I had this stipulation for getting my Pip-Boy edition of Fallout 4.
500 USD?
You had to give me a handy, and I have to take your picture and send it to your mother.
Yeah.
I think that's a...
No takers.
Fair. Yet. That's a fair little price for sweet-ass Pip-Boy. But whatevs. Where are we going with this? We're done.
Yay!
Remember to check out the other podcasts on the Geek Legacy Network. Of course, there is the Comic Corner podcast hosted by Jeff and Tyler, with their review comics currently on the pull list, as well as talk about how amazing Booster Gold is, even though he's a piece of shit. And then you also have the Pixelated podcast with myself and Mr. Stephen K. James, where we talk about the week's highlights, Digigame news. Remember to like us on the Facebook and follow us on the Twitter there, and that is at Geek Legacy, at The Comic Corner, and at Pixelated Pod. You have a fun and festive week, and we will see you next time. Thank you.